Today's daf is Menachos daf Ayin Hey. Today's shir is Lizchus Refuah Shleima for Sarah Rivka Bas Hindaleya. She should have Refuah Shleima B'soch Shar Chola Yisrael. So we left off on daf Ayin Daladam Beis. We're at the Mishnah on daf Ayin Daladam Beis, and the Mishnah is going to talk about the three different matanos of shemen that all the karbanos mincha require. There are three different times where oil is placed somewhere as far as karban mincha is concerned. The Gemara is going to have a brief discussion about the issue of belila. Belila is one of the primary things that one is supposed to do with the karban mincha, so which karbanos do not require belila, exactly at which stage during the process the belila is done. Belila is when you mix the oil together with the flour. Our Gemara is not going to talk about the most famous principle relating to belila, and that is kol roi lebila in bila ma'akevizbo, kol shein roi lebila bila ma'akevizbo, that we've already discussed earlier. In the Masechta, but we're going to discuss other practical matters relating to the Belila. And then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, the Mishnah is going to tell us that there's an additional requirement by all Menachos, that at least all Menachos that are done Bekli, and that is a requirement of Psisa. Psisa is in some way to take an already baked Karban Mincha and break it up into smaller pieces. So we're going to discuss which Karbanos do not require Psisa, how we know that they do not require psisa, and how psisa exactly is done. How do you break up a karban mincha into tiny little pieces? How tiny do the pieces have to be? How broken do the pieces have to be? Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is also going to discuss the notion of chavitza. Chavitza is some type of food. We'll have to see what it is exactly, but it's something that's similar to bread, but not quite bread, and the Gemara is going to talk about if chavitza gets a bracha of hamotzi, whether it makes a difference if we eat more than a kazayis or less than a kazayis of chavitza. And along the way, the Gemara is also going to mention that the first time a kohen brings a karban mincha, he recites a bracha of shechianu. So maybe we'll have an opportunity, if time permits, to discuss some of the halachos related to shechianu and what kind of shechianu that is exactly that he recites on the first time that he brings a karban mincha, whether we have any parallels to that Shechianu Bizman Hazeh. Okay, so we are holding on Daf Ayin Daladam Beis at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page. So the Mishnah is going to discuss how they make certain Karbanos Minchas, specifically the Matnos Shemen. So Kala Menachos Anasos B'Kli, any Mincha that's made in a Kli, a Minchas Machvas, a Minchas Marcheshes, so Tuuno Shlosha Matnos Shemen, they require three Matnos Shemen along the way in the Avodah of this Karban Mincha. You need Yitzika, Ublila, Umatan Shem Bekli Kodim Las Yasin. Those are the three. The Yitzika, the Belila, and the Matan Shem Bekli Kodim Las Yasin. Which means, initially, the first thing you do is you put some shemen into the Kli. That's the Matan Shem Bekli Kodim Las Yasin. Then you put some flour on top of the shemen, and then you mix in some Mayim Poshrim, some lukewarm water, and then you put a little more shemen in, and you do a Belila with the Isa, so that's the Belila. And then you put a little more shemen, and that's the fulfillment of Yitzika. So it, of course, is noted by the Rishonim, Rashi, and many others, that the Mishnah had listed them backwards, right? I mean, the Mishnah had said there are three Matan Shemen and started with the last one and concluded with the first one. So Achronim have suggestions as to why that would be. The Kash is better than the Terence. Okay. Chalos Bolon Diver Rabbi. You Mekayim the Mitzvah of Belila after they're already chalos, after they're already baked. So you crush them into psisim, into crumbs, and then you mix it with oil. You take an already baked bread and you make breadcrumbs out of it, and then you mix it with oil, according to Rabbi. Chum say, no, you do the belila while it's still soles, before you have ever baked it. Hachalos to unos belila, rikikin mashicha. The chalos that are baked in the tanur require belila, the machlokas Rabbi and the chum, exactly at what stage, whether it's soles or whether it's after it's already chalos, but those karbanos mincha that are meant to be chalos require belila at some stage or another. But rikikin, those karbanos mincha that are made as rikikin, do not require belila at all. They only require mishicha, that after you bake them, you smear some oil on the surface of it, and that's it. Ketzad Moshchan, how do you do the Mashicha? Kimin Ki. You make the form of the letter Ki, which is a Greek letter, on the bread, and that is your fulfillment of Mashicha. Ushar Shemen Echalakwanim, and then whatever Shemen you have left over, I mean, you designate a certain amount of Shemen, but how much does it take to make a Kimin Ki? It doesn't take that much oil, so whatever oil you have left over, that all goes to the Kohanim. So from the Lashon of the Mishnah, it sounds like you only those Karbonos Mincha that are made in a Kli require these Shalosh Matanos that the Mishnah had identified. So what's not made in a Kli? L'mute Mai. What Mincha is the Mishnah trying to tell me does not require these Matnos Shemen? Amra Papa L'mute Minchas Mafa. A Mincha that's baked in an oven, whether it be baked as Chalos, whether it be baked as Rikikin, it's not entirely made in a Kli, and therefore it does not require these Shalosh Matanos. It still requires Matanos of Shemen, just not all three. There's no mitzvahs yitzika after the blila, but there are the other mitzvahs. So that's what the Mishnah is trying to exclude, that you have two out of the three Matanos of Shemen if it's a minchas mafatan, or if it's a mincha that you bake in an oven. Okay, now the Gemara brings a brisa that explains how we know that these three matanos that we mentioned in the Mishnah are applied to all karbanos mincha except for the minchas mafatanur. So Tan Rabban, we have a brisa that says as follows: Torah tells us vi minchas marcheshes karbanecha solas b'shemen te'aseh. So malame, this pasuk teaches me shetuna matan shemen b'kli, that a minchas marcheshes at least requires matan shemen b'kli before you ever put the solas, because it sounds like you're putting the solas into shemen. So there must be shemen in the kli before you ever put solas in. And then we darshan karbanecha l'gzereshava. By minchas marcheshes it says minchas marcheshes karbanecha. By minchas machvas it says mincha al hamachvas karbanecha. So we make a gzereshava between these two karbanos mincha, and therefore makan, just like by marcheshes matan shemen b'kli, it's explicit in the pasuk that you put shemen in the kli prior to putting any of the flour into the kli. So afla alan matan shemen b'kli. So to by minchas machvas, there's a din of matan shemen b'kli, but we derive malalon, just like by minchas machvas, yitzika ubalila, there's a din of yitzika ubalila, that's explicit in the pasuk in Vayikra Perek Beis, v'im mincha ala machvas karbanecha solas belula b'shemen, and it says v'yatzavta ala shemen, that's explicit by the minchas machvas. So too by the minchas marcheshes, yitzika ubalila. So we see that both by the minchas machvas and the minchas marcheshes, you require all three of these matnos shemen. Tulsa's asked the question, how could the Gemara say we learn from the Gzera Shava the din of Belila and Yitzika by all Menachos? We're going to see at the end of the Amud that we learn Yitzika by all Menachos from the Riboy of Mincha. So Tosos also asks, how can we learn that the three Matanos of Shemen to all other Menachos, where it doesn't say Karbanecha, like the Mincha Solas and the Mincha Saomer, meaning it seems to only link these two particular Karbanos, the Minchas Machvas, the Minchas Marcheshes. Our Mishnah said everything requires three matanos of shemen, except for the mafatanur. So what about the minchas solas, minchas ha'omer? So Tos suggests that once the Torah is megala to us by various menachos, that you have to put shemen, and it's megala that by one mincha, how to do that matnas shemen, hasvaru nosenes. It's most logical that we could then apply to all other menachos without even a special ribui. So that's a technical Tos in terms of how we learn these halachos to all other kabbalos mincha. Then we said in our Mishnah, chalos bolan divrei Rebbe v'chamrum solas. At what point do we do the blila? Machlokas tanayim. Rebbe said after they're already chalos, we crush them up and do a blila at that point. And the Chacham say, no, while it's still solas, that's when we do the blila. So what's each shita based on? Tan Rabban and the Braisa elaborates. Solas belula. The Pasuk says solas belula. So malamit shenavlala solas, that you see that you're supposed to do the blila when it's still solas. Rebbe Omer, chalos bolulan. Rebbe says, no, I don't agree. I think you're supposed to do the blila when it's already chalos. Shenamar, chalos blulos. Pasuk never says chalos plus, it says chalos matzos plus b'shemet, but the point is the same, that the blila is done after it's already baked, after it's already chalos. So amr lo, the chum says Rabbi Yehuda, v'alo lach metoda, nemr ben chalos, and v'i efshar lebolon k'shein chalos, the lach metoda are called chalos matzos bululos b'shemet, and over there you cannot possibly do the blila when they're chalos, and the solas, you can only do when they're solas. The Gemara will explain why that is, meaning who says, why can't you do the blila on the lach metoda when they're chalos? But taking that for granted, taking that as a given, which right now that's what we're doing, so the Chacham asked on Rabbi Yehuda, how can you tell me that you're supposed to be bolel when things are chalos? There's at least one karban that we know you can't do the blila when it's already chalos. You would have to do it when it's solas. So ketzadosa. So according to the Chum, how do you do it? Nosin shemen b'kli kodem asiyasan. First of all, you certainly put shemen in the kli before you do anything else. V'nosna, then you put the solas into the kli. V'nosin shemen aleha ubalila. And after you put the solas into the kli, you put more shemen in the kli, and you do a belila, v'lasha, and then you knead it together with some mayim poshrim, with some lukewarm water, and then va'ofa, then you bake it, uposisa, and then you break it up into smaller pieces, v'nosin ala shemen v'komet, and you put some more shemen on it, that's the yitzika, and then you take the kmitza from that, once all of that is done. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, no, chalos bolulan, you only do the belila once it's already chalos, shenamar chalos v'lus b'shemen. Ketzalosus, according to Rebbe, how do you do that? Nosin shemen b'kli kodem asiyasa. Certainly the original matan shemen b'kli, everyone agrees, you have to do that first. Vin nosna, then you put the solus into the kli, but then before doing any belila, v'losha v'yofa, you do elisha and nafia. And then uposisa v'nosin ala shemen ubolula. Then you break it up into smaller pieces. You put more shemen in, and you do the belila. And then v'chozer v'nosin ala shemen v'komets. And then you do the mitzvah yitzika by putting more shemen on it. And then you do the kemitza. So now we had mentioned in this price, in this discussion, Efshar, the Kamli Rabbanon the Rebbe, Maihi. The Rabbanon made their point to Rebbe that, you know, there's at least one karban where the belila has to be done while it's still solos and can't be done when it's chalos, because it's impossible when it comes to the lach metoda to do the belila when it's still chalos. So what are they talking about? Why? So Amar B'Shul Bar Yitzchak, Revius Shemenhi, the amount of oil necessary or that's required for the chalos and the rekikin of the toda is only a revius halog of shemen. The chalos ha-toda, you bring a chatzilog in total. Half of you use for revucha, half you use for the chalos and the rekikin together. So there are lots and lots of lach metoda, not all that much oil to do the belila with all these lach metoda. So the belilos of chalos, meaning if the chalos and the rekikin together are only getting a revius of shemen, the chalos are only getting a shminis halog of shemen. Right? They're only getting 1/8 of a log of shemen. Heich mischalekes the kama chalos. It's not shaykh to do belila of chalos of toda after they're already baked with such a tiny amount of shemen, because once they're already baked, they dry up a lot. So it has to be that the belila is done while it's still solas. By solas, you could have even a small amount of oil because it's not yet totally dried out, so even a smaller amount of oil would suffice. In the Tosefta, Rebbe says, it's recorded in the Tosefta, Roa ani estivrehem midvarai, that I think that the because of this kasha, Rebbe changed his mind, and he was ultimately moda to the Chachamim. Tosos says, a girs in the Gemara, shapir kamli rabbanon umayhi. And Tosos explains that the Gemara is saying this benichusa, that the Chachamim asked Rebbe a good kasha, and like it said in the, that, like the Tosefta says, and when the Gemara says Maihi, what was the Shaila the Chum asked that caused Rebbe to be Chozer Midvarav? So there is a tradition in other sources, although not explicit in the Gemara, that this Kasha was such a strong Kasha that ultimately Rebbe changed his mind as a result of this Kasha. Okay, then the Mishnah went on to say HaChalos Tunas Blila Rukikin Mashicha, that only Chalos require Blila, Rukikin don't get Blila, instead they get something called Meshicha. So says Maratan Rabban, how do we know these halachos? The Braisa elaborates. By Minchas Ma'afatanra, the Pasuk says, Chalos Belulos. It says, Chalos Matzos Belulos B'Shemen, Rukike matzos meshuchim b'shemen. So that's what the Gemara is going to work on. The fact that when it talks about chalos, it uses the word belulos. When it talks about rukikim, the pasuk says rukike matzos meshuchim b'shemen. It doesn't say belulos. So chalos belulos vidarshin velo rukikim belulin. It must be that belulos is only for chalos and not for rukikim. So there's a mitzvah belulah on chalos, no mitzvah belulah on rukikim. So why do I need such a drasha sheyachol baladinu? I might have thought that we should make a kal v'chomer. If chalos, which do not require meshicha, nevertheless tunas blila, they do require blila. Rikikin shetuna meshicha, in adin shetuna blila. So rikikin that require meshicha, as explicit in the pasuk, should for sure require blila. Tamalavar chalos blulos, v'lo rikikin blulos. That's why it says chalos blulos, but not rikikin. Rikikin meshuchin. The pasuk goes on to say that the rikikin are meshuchin, and we darshin v'lo chalos meshuchos. But you don't do a meshicha on the chalos sheyachol, because one might have had a havamina valodino that we can learn a kal v'chomer. Umar rikikin shein tuna belila tuna meshicha chalos shetunas belila ein adin shetunas meshicha. If rikikin, which do not require belila, do require meshicha, chalos, which require belila, for sure should require meshicha. Satam alama rikikin meshuchin lo chalos meshuchas. That's why the pasuk says rikikin meshuchin and we darshin. Yeah, but chalos are not meshuchas. My Talmuda, why do you have to darshin this way? That the pasuk is telling me that the belila is only by the chalos, the meshicha is not only by the rikikin. Maybe the pasuk is telling me one of these things by each to tell you to apply it to the other. Meaning, how do you know everything is being so exclusive that because it says belila by chalos, it's only for chalos? Maybe it's saying belila by chalos, v'adin the rikikin, meshicha by rikikin, v'adin the chalos. Some Rabbi lo l'shtami b'lukta of chalos meshuchas rikikin belulin. Rabbi says because the Torah talks about this all the time, and not in a single place does the Torah ever mention meshicha by chalos or belila by rikikin. You look in Parshas Tetzaveh, in Parshas Tzav, in Parshas Naso, these things keep on coming up, and it always only has it that the chalos are belulos and the rikikin are meshuchos. So that can't be by accident. It must be that it is meant to be exclusively in that way. The Mishnah then went on to say, Ketzad Moshcha and Kamin Ki, Vashar Nechal. We said that you do the meshicha by taking some small amount of oil, making the Greek letter Ki, which Rishonim say different shittos exactly what it looks like. Some say it's very similar to a tess. Others say if you take your first two fingers and hold them apart from each other, it's the shape of that. I guess like a V or something. So whatever it is, you take the oil and you put that amount of oil on the surface of the bread, and then you have a lot of oil left over. So the Mishnah said, what do you do with the leftover oil? Okay, so you give that to the Kohanim. My Kamin Ki, Amarav Kana Kamin Ki Yevani. Kamin Ki means the Greek letter Ki. It's a Ki Yevani. The Tanur Rabbanan, Mincha Ba'a Mechza Chalos Mechza Rikikin. Let's say a person is Misnadev to bring a Minchas Mafa. So the halacha is when you take a Nadava, that you can bring a Minchas Mafa. So we already looked this several times. You're supposed to bring 10 loaves. 10 what? So Machlokas Tanayim. Some say 10 chalos or 10 rikikin, but you need to make your choice. Whereas Rabbi Shimon holds, and we have this back on Daf Samach Gimel, Rabbi Shimon holds, you can even decide to split 5 chalos and 5 rikikin. So a person decides he's bringing, a person holds like Rabbi Shimon, right? Let's say we assume like Rabbi Shimon. And he's bringing, he was misnadev to bring him in Minchas Mafa. So he's bringing 5 chalos, 5 rikikin. So what do you do? Mevi log shemen. So for a minchas nedava, you're supposed to have 1 log of oil. So you do that, but because you split it into chalos and rikikin, and the chalos are going to require belila, and the rikikin are going to require meshicha. So the way that each one is going to get its oil is going to be different. So what you have to do right away is after you bring your log shemen, v'chotzehu, cut it in half. So now you have a half a log shemen for the 5 chalos, half a log shemen for the 5 rikikin. What do you do with the half a log of shemen for the chalos? You do belila with it. You mix it together with the flour or the already baked pieces, depending which sheet you hold, like at which point you do the belila. Or rikikin moshchan. And the rikikin, you do a meshicha of the shemen after it's already baked. Umoshech hasarakik al pnei kulo. And the way you do it is you take the chatzilok shemen and you rub the oil all over the surface of the entire rakik. which is against what we said in our Mishnah, because our Mishnah had said that what do you do when you're doing Mashiach of Rikikin? Kamin ki, you make the Greek letter ki, and that's it, you're done. But our Mishnah, but over here, this price seems to tell us you take all of the enough oil to spread over the entire surface of the Rikikin. But even then, you're going to have some leftover oil, ushara shemen, whatever oil is left over, machziru lechalos. Put that back with the chalos. So even though initially you split it 50-50, the chalos are going to end up with more than 50% of the oil. Reb Shimon Yudah Meshumer Reb Shimon Omer Moshchan Kamin Ki. Reb Shimon Yudah says the name of Reb Shimon exactly like our Mishnah said, that you'd make it Kamin Ki, Ushar Hashemin Nechal HaKohanim, and whatever leftover oil you give to the Kohanim. Now, whether you make it Kamin Ki or not is probably telling you in how you read the Psukim. The Re'em, the Mizrahi, in Vayikra, Perek Beis, Pasuk Dalet says that it's a machlokas, whether you darshan like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov in Torah's Kodim. It says B'Shemen several times, and Ein Riboy Yacha Riboy Ela Lema'et, so you're not Moshech Kula B'Shemen, rather it's Kamin Ki. So that's the question. Do we say that it's a double Riboy, and therefore it's Mema'et, and that therefore you put less on, and you only make Kamin Ki? It could be that's machlokas whether to make such a such a drasha. But it turns out over here that we have a double machlokas tanaim. One machlokas tanaim is when you do the mashicha and the rikikin, do you do kamin ki or do you do on the entire surface? And the other machlokas is what to do with the leftovers. Does the leftovers go to the kohanim or do the leftovers just go to the chalos? Tanya idach, we have another brisa that tells us rikikin aban b'fnei atzman. A person is misnadev to bring a minchas. But not like we said before, where he decides he's going to bring five chalos, five rikikin. No, he's bringing exclusively rikikin, right? You can bring a minchas mafatan or whatever min you want. You can bring chalos, you can bring rikikin. He decides he's bringing entirely rikikin. So maybe log shemen umoshchan v'chozer umoshchan. He should take a full log of shemen, be moshech l'rikikin, and then keep doing it. Whatever's left over, keep on being moshech l'rikikin ad sheich l'kol shemen shabalog, because he's got to use up all of the shemen, and the only way he's going to do that is by keeping on doing it over and over again. Now it doesn't say kamin ki over here. It sounds like we're assuming, like the other shita, that it's not kamin ki, that you just moshech the entire surface. Rav Shimon Yehuda Mishum Rav Shimon moshchan kamin ki ushar shem nechal kohanim. Now you're only moshchan kamin ki once, and then you have a whole bunch of shemen left over, and that goes to the kohanim. Okay, new mission now. This mission is going to talk about the din of psisa. It's a pasuk in the Torah by Minchas Machvas. The pasuk tells us pasos osa pitim viatzakta l'Hashem in mincha hi, that you are pasos osa pitim, that after you bake the mincha properly, you break it up into smaller pieces, and then you mekayim the mitzvah of yitzika. So kol ha-menachos hanasas b'kli tunas psisa. All menachos that are made in a kli require psisa. So the mutei mai. What are we coming to exclude when we say whatever menachos are nasos b'kli? It sounds like there are others that are not nasos b'kli that do not require psisa. Amra papa lemute shtei lechem lechem apanim. Yeah, the lechem is shtei lechem and lechem apanim. The shtei lechem shvus lechem apanim every single Shabbos do not require, are not made in a kli shareis. They're baked in a tanur, which we're assuming now, like the shita, that the tanur is not a kli shareis, and therefore they do not require psisa. The reason the tanur is not not considered a kli shareis, so that's a discussion. But that's what the assumption is. So says the Gemara. Tanur Rabban, we have a brisa. Pasos osapitim. Pasuk says pasos osapitim, and then it goes on to say that mincha. It says v'yatzakta l'shemin mincha hi. So the mashmos of the pasuk is that the reason you do psisa is because mincha hi, because it's a mincha. The rabbis call a mincha the psisa. That tells me that anything that is labeled a mincha requires psisa. So yachol shenimar b'av shtei lechem lechem apanim. Oh, but shtei lechem lechem apanim are also a mincha, so why don't they require psisa? Tam lamar osa. That's why there's a miut. The miut of osa tells me that no, not lechem apanim, not shtei lechem. V'yatzakta shemen mincha. Pasuk is on to say after pasul sapitim, it says v'yatzakta le'a shemen mincha hi. So the mashmos of the pasuk is the reason you need yitzhak. yitzika is only because it's a kavur mincha. So the rabbis call mincha yitzika. So from there we learn that every kavur mincha requires yitzika. Yachal shani marbaaf minchas mafa. I might think that even a mincha that's baked in the oven should also require yitzika. Tamalamar. Aleha shemen. That's why it says Aleha shemen. Shemen, that's a miyut. So we must be excluding something from yitzika. So it's the mincha that's baked in an oven that we're excluding from yitzika. Otzi es hachalos velo otzi es harikikin. So it says the Brisa, maybe I should exclude from yitzika only chalos and not rikikin. So tamalomar, he. That's why the pasuk says he, which is an additional miyut. So since there are two miyutim in the pasuk, we're memait from yitzika two types of mincha, the two types that are mafatanur, that are baked in an oven, both chalos and rakikin are excluded from the requirement of yitzika. The reason the Gemara doesn't say that we require shtei alechem, that we are memait shtei alechem lechem apanim from yitzika, like we did from pesisa, which would make sense, is because there was no shemen at all in them, so it's not shaykh to do a mitzvah yitzika on them. So pesisa is shaykh, because pesisa is just taking the bread and breaking it up. But yitzika assumes that there's oil, so since there was no oil, so it's not shaykh, wouldn't be, it's not relevant to talk about not doing yitzika. My Talmudah, how do I know that from the miyut we're excluding minchas mafatanur? Maybe you're right, we're excluding something, but maybe you're excluding the wrong thing. Maybe the mincha that a kohen brings, it's more mistaver to be mimayit that, because it's not even mentioned in that parsha in Vayikra Perek Beis with the other kavanos mincha. It's mentioned Vayikra Perek Vav in a totally separate place. So how does the Tana know to be mimayit dafka minchas mafatanur, which is actually in that parsha? So Amar Rabbah Ezu Davar Shetzorach Shnei Miyutin Hariyom Rezu Minchas Mafa. What type of a mincha, in order to exclude it, would require a double miyut, and is not enough to have one miyut? It must be a mafatanur, because there are two types of mafatanur. There's chalas and rikikin. If it was only coming to be mimayit minchas kohanim, I wouldn't have needed two miyutim, because it's just minchas kohanim. But since there is chalas and there is rikikin that are both mafatanur, there are two categories, and there are two miyutim in the pasuk, so it must be the two miyutim are meant to match up to the two categories. Okay, now a new Mishnah. So the Mishnah on top of Amin Beis. How do we do the mitzvah of psisa? Minchas Yisrael. If a Yisrael brings a carbon mincha. Now it's critical to say Minchas Yisrael as opposed to Minchas Kohen, because Minchas Yisrael requires kmitza, like we've already learned. The Minchas Kohen, since the entire thing is burnt on the Mizbech, Tanakam holds, does not require kmitza at all. So Minchas Yisrael, the way to do psisa on a Minchas Yisrael is after you bake it or you fry the dough, kovel echad l'shnayim v'shnayim l'arba. You fold it into two, and then you fold the two into four. You double fold it. So umavdil, and when you fold it, you make sure it breaks. So it's not just folded over, but it's folded and broken. So minchas kohanim, as opposed to a mincha of a kohen, where you're not going to have to do a kmitza, because all things are going to be burnt on the mizbech anyway, kofalach l'shayim v'shayim l'arba, but ve'enu mafdil. Yes, you fold it over and fold it over again, but you don't need to make sure that it breaks apart. You're not supposed to break it apart, and the reason is because since anyway it's all going to be burnt on the mizbech, and there's not going to be a kmitza, so there's no reason for it to be crushed up into small pieces, because you don't need to do a kmitza. It's a small pieces just to facilitate the kmitza. It's hard to do a kmitza when you have a full loaf of bread. Minchas koin Mashiach loim mekapla. The mincha that the Kohen Gadol would bring every day, the minchas koin Mashiach, the minchas chavitin, you can call it several different titles, that you did not do, you don't fold over at all. Sounds like at all. And the Rabbeinu Gershom writes, because lefishi chavaso ve'enuch metzis klal v'kolil hi. That he means to say that since it's a chova, so it has to be since the nature of it is that it should be different than that it is a chova, it should look different than a minchas nedava. So how do we make it look different than a minchas nedava? Nedava, we just don't do psisa. Some of the Achronim explain, the Taras HaKodesh, he explains that there are two reasons to be Mechayev Psisa, either because it says in the Parsha, or Misvara L'tzorach HaKmitza. So connected the Din Psisa that it says in the Parsha, Rashi explains, from the fact that it says Menefesh Kitakriv, it sounds like the Parsha is only talking about a Minchas Nedava, but a Minchas Kohen is excluded, because when it talks about Psisa in the Torah, it says Nefesh Kitakriv, when a person decides to bring on his own. What about the Svara? The Svara of doing psisa, that you got to do psisa in order to be able to do a kmitza. Yeah, well, that certainly doesn't apply to the Minchas Koyim Mashiach, because there is no kmitza. So that's why there's no psisa whatsoever. Okay, says the Mishnah further, Rabbi Shimon disagrees with the Tanakama as far as Minchas Koyim is concerned. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Minchas Koyim, Minchas Koyim Mashiach, Ein ben psisa mnei shein ben kmitza, kol shein ben kmitza, ein ben psisa, v'kulim posim kizesim. So Rabbi Shimon says the Minchas Kohanim and the Minchas Kohen Mashiach, you don't do psisa at all because they do not have kmitza, and anything that doesn't have kmitza doesn't have psisa. Meaning, unlike the Tanakhama, who said that the Minchas Kohanim you do psisa, you're just not mavdil, you fold it over, you just don't make sure that it's totally cut. So Rabbi Shimon says no psisa at all. But v'kulim posim kzeisim, all the chalos that you do psisa on, you make sure that you fold it over, keep on folding it until each of the psisim is the size of a kazais. And that's against the Tanakhama, who says no, you fold it over four squares, and that's it. You don't fold it anymore. So Rabbi Shimon says, no, you keep on going. Excuse me. Until they're all kazesim. Okay, Tanur Rabbanan. Bryce Darshan says as follows. Pasos, the Pasuk says, Pasos osapitim. So we Darshan, Yachal, you might think, Lishnayim, that you just folded over once into two pieces. Tamalomar, pitim. That's why it says, Pitim. E pitim, Yachal, Yasena, Pirurin. So if it says pitim, I might think, so you make it into a bunch of crumbs. Tamalomar, osa. That's why it says, osa lipsisim, lo psisil psisim. You take the actual loaf and you make a psisim, but you don't make the psisim that you've made out of the loaf into further psisim. Okay, Sad Minchisol, Kovarech Lashayim, Lashayim, Larba. Mavdil, that for Minchas Yisrael you just fold it over twice and you mavdil the chalakim from each other, and that's it. Minchas Kohanim kovelach l'shayim l'shayim l'arba ve'eno mavdil v'koyin Mashiach hayim akapla, and the koyin Mashiach you'd only fold over once, which by the way says the Gemara va'anantanan lo hayim akapla, that last little piece that the koyin Mashiach you'd only fold over once is against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said you don't fold it over at all. Amrabba eno makapla arba v'makapla shnayim. You touch up our Mishnah differently. Our Mishnah just meant you're not Mekapel twice. You're not Mekapel the same way you'd be Mekapel the other Kabbalists, but you still do some sort of folding. Okay, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Minchas Kohanim, Minchas Kohanim Mashiach, ain't ben Psisa. Rabbi Shimon said, the Minchas Kohanim, Minchas Kohanim Mashiach, there is no Psisa, but whenever you do Psisa on the Minchas Yisrael, you make sure you keep doing Psisa until you get pieces that are the size of a Kezayis. So, says the Gemara, Amrav Yosef, from here we see, Hai Chavitza, if you have a food that's made from breadcrumbs, it's made from crushed up bread, the ispa perurin, kezayis, if the crumbs, the pieces of bread, are a kezayis in size, mevarchin alea motzi lechem menaretz. The bracha is hamotzi. Isla pirurin kezayis, the ilesa pirurin kezayis, rather, mevarchin alea bar minim zanos. But if the pirurin are smaller than a kezayis, then the bracha is no longer hamotzi, the bracha is bar minim zanos. So, because anything that doesn't have chashivas hapas, but is made from the chamesh minei dagan, is bar minim zanos. So, Amrav Yasmina Aminila, how do I know? Just because we learned in our Mishnah that you're supposed to break up the Karban Mincha into the size of a kezayis. Where does that tell me that when you break up other bread into the size of a kezayis, it's still a motzi, less than a kezayis, not a motzi? Where do you see that? Titania. Hayomir, Makrav Menachos B'Yerushalayim. If a Kohen is being Makrav Menachos in Yerushalayim, so first of all, we mentioned parenthetically, Omer, Baruch Shechianu V'Kimanu. He should recite a bracha of Shechianu. Nitalon Liachlan, but when he goes in to eat the Karban, Omer Amotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. So apparently, the bracha on the Karban Mincha is Hamotzi, Utnan, Bekulim, Psisim, Bekazayis. And we said that you break it up till it's the size of a Kazayis. So apparently, broken up bread that's still a Kazayis, the bracha is Hamotzi. Why don't we crush it to smaller than a Kazayis? Because apparently the bracha is supposed to be emotzi, and if you crush up the small one, it's not going to be emotzi anymore. Some of the Abayi says Rav Yosef, Tanzvei Rav Shmuel, Domar Mefarchan Ad Shemachzinu Lasiltan. Yeah, but Tanzvei Rav Shmuel says you keep crushing it till it's way smaller than because I still you turn it into a flower. Hachinami Delo Mevarich Hamotzi. Would you then say that according to him you do not recite emotzi because it's less than a kezayis v'chitei machinami? And you're going to tell me, yeah, in achinami, sure, you won't say emotzi because it's so tiny. V'atanya liket mekulan. Kezayis v'achalo, that we have a brisa that tells us that if a person takes a bunch of crumbs that were crushed up from a kezayis and he puts them together to make a sheer kezayis v'achalo and he eats it on Pesach im chametzu anush kares, so that's a full chiyuv kares on Pesach for eating chametz on Pesach v'im matzahu adam yasid yidei chavas on Pesach, and if it's matzah he fulfills his mitzvah of achilas matzah. So you see that even crushed up crumbs are called lechem, and you could say emotzi on them because otherwise you would never be able to fulfill your mitzvah of matzah with them. So says Gemara, Hachamayaskin on Bishi Irsan. The Braisa about Pesach is talking about where you combine them together again. You didn't just happen to eat a kezayis worth of crumbs, but you managed to like knead them together into a single unit where you combine them together again. So now they take on the chashivas of lechem again, and that's why you could be yotze your mitzvah of matzah on Pesach. But that's not a raya to the chavitza that Rav Yosef was talking about, where you're dealing with actual crushed up pieces. So it says Mar Ihachi, if the Brice is talking about where you combine them together again, Hainu de Katani Allah, when it says on that Brisa, Vuhusha Acholon Bikdei Achilas Pras, that everything it says in the Brisa is only true if you eat the Kazayas within the amount of time that it takes a Pras, that it takes to eat a Pras, meaning if it's a Kazayas of Chameit, you're only going to be Chayv Kares if you ate a Bikdei Achilas Pras. If it's a Kazayas of Matzah, you're only Yotzid your Mitzvah if you ate a Bikdei Achilas Pras. If the Bryce is talking about where you've combined them together, it shouldn't have said, the halacha is correct, but it shouldn't have said sha'achalon, it should have said sha'achalo mibayile. It's no longer a bunch of pieces, it's one unit. If that's the whole ukimta that we're going to make in that brisa, that you're eating it all as a single unit. So therefore we're back to the kasha and Rav Yosef, that from the brisa it's muchach that even tiny crumbs you say hamotzian, and Rav Yosef says no, when it's smaller than a kezayis there's no more hamotzi. Now it must be the brisa of Pesach is talking about where you had a large loaf and you cut off pieces from the large loaf, and in that case you would still make hamotzi even though the pieces are smaller than a kezayis. But if you crushed up the entire loaf where there's no part of the loaf left, all you're left with is a package of breadcrumbs, then you would not make hamotzi on the pieces that are smaller than a kezayis. My avila, what do we pass? If sheish somer fil perur and shein ben kezayis, you say hamotzi even on the crumbs that are less than a kezayis. Amrava vudika turisa denama alayu. That's provided that it has suras hapas, a very critical line, that only if it looks like bread do the perurim that don't have a kezayis, but if they don't look like bread, you don't recite hamotzi on them. So that is a very important halachic discussion that the poskim have. What is the appropriate bracha to recite on matzah? Meaning, so on Pesach, of course, you say hamotzi on matzah. There's a major discussion. What about when it's not Pesach? The Chidah in Machzik Bracha in Simen Kuf Nun Ches quotes from the Shari Knesset Sagadola was asked about matzah la'achara Pesach. Do you say hamotzi since it's based on its ingredients, or mezonos based on the way that it's baked? It doesn't have tzuras hapas at all. It's a cracker. It doesn't look like bread at all. So he says yitol yadav yivarich hamotzi. The Shari Knesset Sagadola says you say hamotzi and birchas hamazon afterwards, and the Beis David he gives two reasons for it. One, he says, because since you leave the matzah around only for enough time for it to get baked, and no longer than that, it has the din of lechem. Only if you leave it for more than kedei afiyasa or la'achar afiyasa, you put it in the oven again, you do something to make it fancier, only then would it be a mezonos. And second of all, he says, on Pesach, you're for sure making a motzi. So the halach is not going to change after Pesach. So says Machzik Bracha, that is absolutely incorrect. Neither svara is correct. The first svara that he says, the matzos are dry, so they have a din of pasa babakisnin. The halach is that when you make something a cracker, that's one of the definitions of kisnin, of pasa babakisnin. In the Targum Yonis and Benazil, on the Pasuk, in Sefer Yoshua, Yavesh Haya Nukudim, Targum Yonis says, what does Yavesh mean? Kisnin. So you see that Pasababa Kisnin means that something is totally dry. The fact that you say a motzi on it on Pesach, yeah, that's on Pesach. But what does it have to do with after Pesach? On Pesach, you're Koveh Asud on it. After Pesach, you're not Koveh Asud on it. So our minhag is, for whatever reason, that we do recite a hamotzi on matzah. I think many Sephardim do not. They would not recite a hamotzi on Ashkenazi matzahs, because their matzahs have a little more of a, those who have the Sephardi matzah have a little more of a tzuras hapas. In fact, some of the Ashkenazi poskim suggest not to use matzah as lecha mishum in Chas Yitzchak writes. You shouldn't use matzah toward lecha mishum, which is also our practice. We do all the time. You can't find the second challah. You take a matzah. Chas Yitzchak says, don't do that, because it's probably really, meaning logically, if you learn the sugya, it's more likely a mezonos. So for whatever reason, we have a minhag of making a motzi, but better to be machmir, not to enter into the safek at all. Just to quickly mention, we talk over here about the bracha of Shechiyanu, when they would do the avoda for the first time. So Rashi writes, we're talking about a Kohen who had never done the Avodah before. First time in his life, he recites a Shechiyanu. So the Ramah writes in Yardeya Simul Chavches, if a person is shechting for the first time in his life, he should make a Shechiyanu on the Kisui Adan, not on the Shechita itself, because two reasons not to do it on the Shechita itself, either because it's Mazik the Behema, or the Shach says, because there's no mitzvah to do Shechita. If you're hungry, you do Shechita, but there's no requirement to do Shechita. But Kisui Adam, once you've already shechted a chay or an oaf, there absolutely is a requirement to do Kisui Adam. But this is a big, big discussion. When do we say that the first time you're doing a mitzvah in your life, you say a Shechiyanu, and when do we not? Meaning, it doesn't seem that people do it with tzitzis, with tefillin, with other mitzvahs that you would think that you should. So that's a major discussion that we're not going to have right now. Okay, we'll pick up at the Mishnah and I'll tomorrow.